turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. And this passage is actually taken from the beginning part of Jesus' ministry, but it really sets a stage for what we celebrate tonight on Christmas Eve. It says in John chapter 1, verse 29, just one simple verse, as John the Baptist is walking around. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would teach us what that verse means. Some very simple words, but when they're looked at in the context of human history and in the context of who you are as God, Father, they have an immense meaning for us, and especially for us as we celebrate Christmas. God, help us to see your truth. Help us to see your grace. Help us to understand what it is that not one of us in this room deserves to be in your presence. Father, help us to see this evening, that your grace would ring out through your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple weeks back, we were at Walmart doing our gift wrapping. And we do that. We do free gift wrapping at Walmart just to kind of be a blessing to our community. And just want to be a blessing to people. And the most common response when we have our banners and we're like, "It's free, really, no donations," and we tell them that, the most common response people have is, "I don't believe you. It can't be free. What do you want from me?" No, really. It's we want nothing from you. We just want to be able to kind of be a blessing to our community and bless people and do something for them. That people just have no concept of believing that. And most people just kind of walk on by. I assure you, you know, if you want to give money to somebody, give it to the Salvation Army guy ringing that bell, but don't give it to us, and nobody would believe us. I was standing there with Melanie Bass, and with my Caitlin. And so they were welcoming, and they're 4 years old. And so they're welcoming people over to our table. And every time they spoke to somebody, people would smile. Every time I spoke to somebody, they would put their head down and kind of like, you know, just kind of pass by me. And I was explaining this to Melanie. I said, "Melanie, every time you talk to somebody, they smile. And every time I talk to them, they just kind of put their head down, try not to look at me and move quickly into the store." She looks up at me and she says, "Well, why is that?" And so I started explaining to her. I said, "Well, when you do it, people actually think you're sweet. When I do it, they think I want something from them." And there's this lady walking by, and she goes, "That's exactly right." And she got up. We don't believe in grace, do we, in this world? Our world, and honestly us in this room, we don't believe in grace. We kind of say the word grace. We preach about grace. We say grace abounds. We sing about amazing grace. But do we in our hearts really believe in the grace of God? I would say most of us, if we're really honest, we don't. Why do we not? I mean, we see so little bit of grace in our world. You know, where or something is given without anything expected in return. We see so very little of it. Or you might look at your own heart and say, "Well, I don't really act in grace towards people. So why would people act in grace towards me?" Or you might be one in this room, "You know what, I simply don't want anything for free. I've got everything that in this world that I've ever earned, and I don't want anything given to me." And so there's this reaction on a lot of different levels against the word grace and against the reality of it. So at the core of us, I would say it's the human condition that we have a difficult time believing in grace. But yet, if you really think about it, what is the theme of Christmas? Grace. But yet, if we don't believe in grace, or we have a hard time grasping it, then I would say we have a hard time grasping Christmas at all. And so why would I say that grace is the theme of Christmas? Because that's honestly the reason that Jesus came. What does it say in John 1, earlier in John chapter 1? It says that the Word, talking about Jesus, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. So He comes to this planet. God, the eternal God, comes and takes on flesh, and He comes to this world. Why did He come? The verse we read earlier answers that question. That the next day, John saw all these things and saw Jesus walking towards him. He says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That Jesus didn't just come to say, "Hey, I'm here." He came to do what? He came to take away sin. And so sin is a term that many people react against. Many people don't really want to talk about it. But you can define it in a lot of different ways. But here's the simplest definition. Is people walking away from God. And so the essence of Jesus' coming, if it's to take away sin, is to take away our walking away from God, thereby restoring us into right relationship with Him. So how did He do all that? What did Jesus do? He did for us what we were unable to do for ourselves. And He brings the benefits of all that He did that we had no ability to produce for ourselves. And how did He do it? What does this verse talk about? It talks about Him as the Lamb of God. And in the Old Testament, this is bringing back an Old Testament picture of the Lamb. And in the Old Testament, what was the Lamb used for? The Lamb was used for sacrifice. And what type of Lamb was used for sacrifice? It was one that was perfect. One that was without blemish. One that was flawless, without defect. And so when it says that Jesus is the Lamb of God, what is it saying about Jesus? Is that He is the one who has fulfilled the highest command of God the Father. That He says to everybody in this planet, be perfect as I am perfect. Okay, great. And in 1 hour of one day, I transgress that command how many times? And every single one of us in this room is in the same condition. Nobody can meet up to God's standard, be perfect as I am perfect. But yet Jesus in flesh is the one who fulfills that completely. He is exceedingly righteous. He is the one who lived a life that we could not live. But the idea of the Lamb of God also points to something else, and it really is that sacrificial death. That He also not just lived the life I couldn't live, He died the death that we all deserved. Lamb, the animal of sacrifice, their blood was shed to cover the sin of the worshiper. Their walking away from God was covered by the blood of the Lamb. A picture showing that everyone deserved for that type of life, the life that walks on its own terms rather than that of God. So what does this mean when Jesus is the Lamb of God? That Jesus came to this earth to bear up under the wrath of God instead of me, instead of you if you're his child. The perfect, righteous, faultless Son of God takes on Him the punishment that you and I deserve. What does it say in Isaiah 53? That we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity or the sin of us all. And knowing He came to do this, he broke into this world knowing that that was His end. So He lived the life we could not live. He died the death that we could not live. That's why He came. And that's what we call amazing grace. That's why grace is the theme of Christmas. Because He didn't come to be a cute little baby in a manger. He came as the coming King. The conquering King that will save His people from their sins. And how does He do that? As He lives a life of perfection and of righteousness. And then He dies the death that His people deserved. So as to restore a right relationship with God. And that is interesting because who is He talking to? He says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John is writing to a Jewish audience. And he's writing to these people who think that they have a claim on the truth of God. That they have it together and God is going to come to them because of how great their life is. They're the people of God. They're the ones that have a claim and a right on the grace of God. And so that's for them. And John says Jesus came to take away the sin of the world. Everybody on this planet that is has the pronouncing of God's grace to them. The offer of God's grace is to everybody here. Not just some portion of this world, not just some people that are in church attendance on every week basis. God's grace rings out to the world. I would say it's so easy for many to fall into the trap that you must act or be a certain way in order to have a claim on the grace of God, in order to belong to God. You know, thought takes a lot of different shapes, and this is probably one of the most common. You know, I can't come to church. I can't serve God because my life is a mess. You've probably heard something close to that sentence. Maybe even thought it in your own heart. But what underlies that sentence? I can't come to church because my life is a mess. What is underlying that sentence? Is the thought that you have to clean yourself up in order to come to God. And if you have that thought process in your head, you are missing the beauty of Christmas. It is not that you clean yourself up to come to God. It is that God comes to people who've made a mess of things, and He comes to rescue. That's why Christmas is all of grace. It says in Romans, while we were still His enemies, Christ died for us. That is grace. Grace is not God comes to call His own of perfect people that look really nice. He comes to those who have walked away from Him, and He pursues them with His grace. That's why Jesus is in that manger. That's why Jesus humbles Himself and comes off of His throne of all eternity and takes on the humility and the weakness of a little baby. With no pomp and circumstance, that is greeted by shepherds. That's the humility of our God. Christmas is all of grace. And so I would say there's probably many in this room that might say, okay, I get that, but I've done pretty well on my own. Why do I really need grace? And you might be saying, oh, I've kind of put it together all right. And if you're thinking you have no need of God, you've probably have missed what I've just talked about a few minutes. Is that need of God is, we say, you know what, he's really irrelevant. When we say God is irrelevant, we're basically saying we have no need in our lives. But everybody in this room is in the same place. Every single person is in a need of grace. Because every single person, the human heart, says, I'm going to live life on my own terms and not on God's. That is universal of every person in this room and of this planet. And yet that's the planet, that's the people that Jesus breaks in to pursue. So you may have accepted that already and understanding that every day you need the grace of God. Or you might say, you know what, I'm such a mess, I've done all these things, God can't cover that. Or you might say, you know what, I'm living a pretty good life, why do I need God's grace? Every single person in here needs to come face to face with the loving grace of God. That's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is all about grace. It's not about us cleaning ourselves up in order to have a walk and a knowledge of who God is. It's all of God pursuing broken people in a broken world, and so as to restore all things and make them new. Let's pray. God, we ask that You would take these things, that as we think of who You are, that You are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God, You came to rescue those who have turned their back on You. God, what an amazing, amazing promise that is. That You didn't come to rescue those who have life figured out. You came to rescue those who have walked away from You. And then You restore the brokenness of this world. God, I pray that we in this room, would be willing to hear that call. And Father, if we've never come to a place where we have trusted alone in Jesus, that today would be the day of salvation. That God, Christmas would truly be joy to the world because we understand that there really is a King to receive. God, I pray that by Your Spirit You would do amazing work in us as Your people, because truly Christmas is all about grace. And thank You for that, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.